This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9 with Macca and Janet Jukes. Our next guest, who's actually, I think, just completed half a marathon, Josh Burns, member for McNamara. You've run from Mordialloc.
I'm very, very sore, Macca. I am a fragile, fragile person right now.
Macca can't relate.
No.
What was your time, Josh?
So I ran with my little brother, which he was very generous in sticking with me because he's very fit and has run these sorts of things before. So he ran with me. We managed to do it in under 2 hours, which I was pretty happy about.
Wow.
Which for a first go is not bad. Yeah, it's okay.
I can relate. My younger sister, she's only 14 months younger than me, is a marathon runner and has represented Australia in long distance running. I don't run with her, though.
No,
I don't make that terrible mistake.
And my partner is an absolute gym bunny. So I can say the same that, you know, is doing the half a marathon, what's harder, Josh, half a marathon or running an election campaign?
Well, they say that an election campaign is run within 1 square foot of real estate, which is your head. That's the biggest, it's a mental grind. Physically, I'm pretty sore now. So ask me tomorrow and I'll tell you. But no, look, it was a great thing. It was a beautiful morning and it was to raise money for stroke research.
Yep.
It was an organisation that raised thousands of dollars for research into stroke. So my brother registered me and by that stage I didn't have the heart to tell him no. So I'm now going to be still for a few days.
Very good.
Go walking in the bay or something.
Yeah, I think so.
So, Josh, we've seen another election this week.
Were
you surprised by the outcome? You know, Donald Trump won the Electoral College, but also won the popular vote, even though that doesn't determine who wins the popular vote.
Mm.
Convincingly, he won. Were you surprised by the outcome? You know, because it looks like he won with a margin of about 3%. I know votes are sort of still being counted, but it's at least 3%. Were you surprised by that?
I think after watching American politics for the last 10 or 15 years, it's hard to be surprised by things. But it was really a pretty incredible result. I think, obviously I have to be, you know, we've spoken about American politics on your show, and I think I'd make a couple of points, is that obviously Australia respects the democratic processes for other countries, just as we would expect them to respect our own democratic processes. And as a member of the Australian Parliament, I really can't influence American politics, nor am I going to try to. It's my job to try and ensure that Australians have the best possible political representation that I can provide. But I would make this point, Macca, that I know that a lot of the themes that we see in American politics does translate into Australian politics. And we often see an Americanization of Australian politics, which I think, you know, we imported some things from the United States, which are fantastic. I mean, the names of our parliaments are, you know, we are a Westminster system, but we didn't import the Westminster names of our parliament. We imported the American names of the House of Representatives and the Senate. And there are many democratic traditions that we do inherit from the Americans. Although I think, you know, I think people watching the way in which issues such as abortion rights and especially for the trans community, the way in which they were weaponized during the American election campaign, I think that it clearly would have made people feel uneasy in Australia. So to that extent, I would say that, you know, we do politics differently in Australia. I certainly don't practice politics like that, and I never will. And we are very proud of our trans community here in Australia and in McNamara. And we're also, you know, I'm the parliamentary chair of the Joint Committee on Human Rights, and I will stand up for the rights to reproductive health care rights, especially abortion rights here in Australia as well.
I mean, some of the issues, Josh, you know, that got traction, you know, are similar. So issues around, you know, women's health choices, you know, the discussion, you know, around trans folk. What amazed me was that the character of the candidates doesn't, how can I put this, doesn't seem to influence how people vote, whether it's a good character or a bad character. Mm. You know, I know you won't, you know, you can't comment on that, but, you know, that the turnout, you know, was pretty good, yet the issues that drove people didn't seem to be influenced by some of the characters and decisions those candidates have made in the past. It's a nice, polite way to put it.
I think what's behind that, Macca, and the way I understand it is that, and I think this happens in Australia too, is that people vote for what they believe is best for them and their families and the people that they love. And that's what is the biggest motivating force behind one's vote. And often it can be, you know, often the biggest thing in that affects people is the economy and how people are managing to pay for all of the things that they need to, all of the expenses that come with living in our society. And that is the biggest driving force. You know, what does it mean for myself? How am I going? How's my family going? And while I don't think there are obviously things that you agree and disagree with political candidates, ultimately what political organizations need to be keeping front of mind is what are we doing to try and assist people getting through the days, the weeks, the months, and how is our government helping the people that we're there to serve? And if people feel like that they are not coping or they need improvements or they need change, then that will be the biggest driving force in their vote. And I think that's entirely rational. I don't think that says everything about the election. I don't think it says nothing about the election either.
Do you think, you know, Australian politics and Australian elections are quite different, but do you see any of, you know, a lot of the issues that have played out in America, you know, the cost of living, women's health issues, you know, the values of the society we live in, do you see them playing out in the next federal election? I mean, I get a feeling that they're going to. I mean, clearly the opposition and the government are going to be looking very closely at the outcome in the US and trying to work out what it is that drove the victory, but also, you know, what caused the Democrats to lose. What are your thoughts there?
Look, I think that there clearly are always lessons to be learned from elections, and political organisations have to be humble when assessing elections, and you have to be humble in victory and you have to be humble in defeat as well. And so anyone who arrogantly walks out of an election going, I did everything right, or I did everything, you know, and everything is correct, will quickly realize that government's popularity can diminish very, very quickly. And I, you know, now that President-elect Trump has won, he has to govern, and we'll see how that transpires. So my point is that in Australia, political organizations need to take lessons. They need to do so with humility. I think going back to that principle of what is important to people, how are people going? How are their families going? How's their loved ones going? Are they coping? Are they financially getting by? If we are not asking ourselves difficult questions and questions that relate to the welfare and the financial welfare and the economic welfare of Australians, then we are going to, you know, we will wake up the day after the election and realise that's what people voted on. Now, if we are in tune to that, which I think people are trying to be, certainly in the government, and even this week we announced we were going to wipe 20% off HECS debt, which is, you know, I'm really proud of that announcement. And I was surprised, actually, that the Liberal Party opposed it. It seems like a real no-brainer. So if they're going to do things like that, then maybe they aren't heeding the lessons of the US election. Maybe they need to more. Who knows? But ultimately, we need to stay focused on the Australian people, and that's what we have to do before and after the US election as well.
I'll give you perhaps a slightly counter view on that HECS debt decision.
Sure.
You didn't scrub the debt. You simply transferred the debt to the taxpayer.
Well, no,
unless you're getting the Reserve Bank to print some money to replace it.
Well, ultimately, people pay a certain amount per university degree, and to wipe off that debt means that individuals won't be paying that, and that will have to come out of consolidated government revenue. And in an inflationary environment, it will mean that people will be able to pay less on their tax debt. So, you know, yes, everything has to be paid for. We're not a banana republic, but individuals who have large tax debts, especially young people, shouldn't be, you know, that they carry a lot of burden already. People pay high income tax. We thought this was a pretty sensible measure that meant that people who are paying high tax debt can have a bit of a break.
Do you think that announcement, I mean, I think it's a great announcement.
As a mother of,
you know, four children who went through university or are going through university or about to go through university, do you think it got the cut, I mean, do you think it got the cut through that it needs to get, particularly with that group of voters for the Labor Party?
Well, great question, Jan. I mean, we did have a sort of fairly interesting election happening in the other side of the world, where people, I do think, were paying a little bit of attention to this week. But we will keep talking about it. And also, it's the legislation that will be countering this, or enacting this, will be one that we will have to probably pass in first thing in our second term. So this will be a conversation we'll be having right up to the election. And the plan is to have those HECs reduced by 20% on 1 July next year. So around tax time. So this will be an ongoing conversation. If people don't know information about it, you can go onto my socials, you can go onto Jason Clare's socials. There's plenty of information. If you think this affects you, then get in touch and we can
also
provide,
as a mother,
provide information.
Also as a mother whose daughter's thinking of doing a Bachelor of Arts next degree next year, the other one was reversing changing again the cost for different degrees, because obviously there's an awful lot of politicians in Parliament House and who got a free arts degree. I did. I'm not a politician, but there's a lot of people in my generation who got free arts degrees.
You're very thankful
and,
for that, Jan.
You know, a listener has asked, did Macca get a free degree? Yes, he did. I believe education should be free.
Me too.
Now, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not discussing this because I got a free one. That was the system at the time. I believe tertiary education should be free.
Yeah.
Now, I'm challenged by a little is, and all respect to, you know, cutting that debt, I agree with the reason for cutting that debt.
Yeah.
But the reality,
a unique mix of world.
The reality is, the debt has been transferred from the students to the general taxpayer. The general taxpayer should be paying for tertiary education, but this is a bit of a shell game.
Can I make a point here, Macca? And that is that while we also have introduced as part of this announcement, we already do it, but we have introduced a policy where we will have a minimum of 100,000 free TAFE courses.
Yeah.
We already do free TAFE. So TAFE at the moment for specified courses is free, and that's been hugely successful for people who want to reskill and fill up crucial jobs in parts of the economy that we need people working in. So that component is free. The HECS system was designed to replace the free university system so that government can still support people going to university. They still subsidise people going to university. It just meant that the number of people and the number of Australians that could go to university was exponentially increased, and it meant more opportunity for more people across Australia. Now, certainly, if we had a situation where universities were covered by government, you know, like the old days, then in an ideal world, sure, that sounds like a great idea. But what HECS did enable people to do is that regardless of your socioeconomic background, there was a pathway for you to be able to afford to go to university. You wouldn't have to pay for it unless your university degree was helping you get a, you know, relatively well-paid job. And I think what's happened over time is that balance of how much HECS costs, when you have to pay for it, and how much debt you're left with, just sheerly by the fact that university is becoming more and more expensive to provide, is something that we need to constantly be looking at. So I think this is sensible policy, and I think it's it's a reflection of the fact that university is an expensive product, but it's crucial, and it's a crucial for people from all walks of background to have opportunity to be able to extend themselves in their studies. So,
well, we look forward to talking about it a lot more, Josh. I think it's a, you know, I agree. I think the education policy, particularly the burden of debt that we put on young people for at the very beginning of their working life, is certainly a worthy issue to be discussing and working out what to do with. But unfortunately, we've run out of time. Yeah. My strong suggestion is ice. Ice. Cool water, maybe that you know, go and sit in the bay because it's still pretty cold.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I will be doing some sort of recovery and potential, but I think a coffee first. I'm going to reward myself.
Perhaps even a beer. I think that's what my
that'll
sister.
Help recovery.
Thanks again, Josh. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Always good. Yeah.
And stay well, and we'll speak to you again soon. Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Janet. When we come back, a complete and utter change of pace.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.